Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, the founder of Array Digital and your host. And today I have Manny Serra coming from South Florida to join us to talk about some interesting stuff. They got some major goals, ambitions to grow their firm. But first, we want to kind of get into the basics and his background. And we're going to dive into some cool stuff today. So thanks for tuning in. So Manny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Ready to rock and roll today.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for joining me. And so criminal defense, primarily, that's what you do in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton, I think. But let's hear it from you. Tell us, your background specifically, and then we're going to dive more into the firm, how you all operate, your thoughts and beliefs, and we're going to dive into it. So,
cool. Yeah. So born and raised South Floridian through and through, love South Florida. Criminal defense is what we do. It's all we do. It's what we're best at. And it comes from a place of passion. Everyone within the firm has their own fun story behind how they got involved in criminal defense. And I think kind of the cool thing about it is that we're trying to revolutionize criminal defense in South Florida because it's become what we had seen, right? I started my career in law school, kind of being bookish, if you will, right? Being on law review, doing moot court, all that kind of stuff, trying to go into a big firm, big law, figured out it wasn't for me. Went to the public defender's office and was fighting like hell for a lot of our clients and really caring about the cause, right? And realizing that things are bigger than me, taught me a lot of perspective in life, but specifically really what I did see there that everyone, it's kind of a common theme that you'll hear amongst public defenders and legitimate litigators, is it's somewhat of a plea factory, at least in South Florida, for criminal defense, meaning for those that don't kind of jive with that term or understand what it is, anytime someone's charged with a crime, right, you can fight this thing from the arraignment the first day all the way to a trial date. And judges may give you some time to do it. And it's going to take a lot of effort to work through it. And the case looks like crud because anything that officers or state attorneys are throwing your way, it's going to be pretty one-sided, right? And so if you read it that way and don't look into it and fight and believe your clients, then you're headed towards a kind of tunnel vision, horse blinders plea, a resolution where you're resolving the case to an offer that your client may think is great. You may even think it is great if you're naive enough. And before you know it, you're just part of the system that's beaten down people that has to be fixed. It's really hard for one person to fix it. And us being our big firm, right, trying to grow, we want to get to that 10 lawyers, then 15 lawyers and grow. And because we believe it's our ethical duty to change that plea factory, that plea mill that happens in South Florida with a lot of these criminal defense lawyers going in and kind of giving way to the system rather than fighting it for our people. And we don't do it in any kind of anarchy, burn the courthouse down, none of that kind of stuff. But certainly it's, we're just not taking anyone's BS and we're standing for our own principles. And really, I got to this seat as managing partner of the firm through my hard work. I've known Adam, who's the owner and founder of the firm, for about 20 years, actually played basketball and he was my coach when he was in law school. When I was in high school at Chaminade, yeah, down here at the school in Hollywood. And it's just naturally progression, like attracts likes. You know, we're on EOS, we have core values, and we really practice and preach them. We have our mission, we have our goals, our vision, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's something that you're either all in, which is one of our core values, or you're not. And so that alignment is huge. And I was all in with Adam when it was just me, Adam, and a legal assistant. And then we've grown and grown and grown. And a lot of what we did was legitimate grassroots, filing motions to suppress, motions to dismiss, fighting, not just taking pleas and really being there for our clients.
Yeah, I love that. That's excellent. And yeah, I'm familiar with those terms and things like that, of course. And, you know, I can see where that, you know, would be a big problem. And, you know, you want to get a case through and take a plea and it's a good deal. And yeah, so you're standing up for that. So that's excellent. Back up real quick. I want to make sure people know how to check you guys out. So it's actually, the firm is Rosen Law Firm. That's R-O-S-S-E-N. So R-O-S-S-E-N Law Firm. If you're watching on video, it's right below us. If you're on audio, you can go type that in and check them out. But it's Adam Rosen is who you're talking about. And I believe he was a guest of ours a while back. which is when I reached out to him as a follow-up and said, hey, do you know anybody? This was recently. And then he said, hey, my managing partner would be a great fit. And that's how we got Manny on the show. So, but yeah, so he's grown a lot probably since we had him on the show. I'll have to look that episode up and see when that was. It was probably a little while back. But so excellent. So, you know, what I just heard from Manny is they checked a lot of boxes, right? And on this show, we talk about mostly running a business, entrepreneurship, but the fundamentals, right? The basics, the things that most people skip or don't see value in, you know, that make a huge difference. Yeah, the core values, the mission, the, you know, he's running on the US. We just actually had Scott Snelling on. You mentioned him backstage. I was like, oh, Scott was on the previous week. So if you're listening to this episode, maybe you've already heard that episode, but yeah, maybe a shout out to Scott from you, Manny, about what he is all about.
Yeah. So we run an EOS, right? The Entrepreneurial Operating System. If you're listening to this episode before Scott's, won't be hurt if you pause this one to go check his out. Scott's a great guy. Scott Snellings is who we're talking about. He's out at the Texas area, does personal injury and has been very invested in his firm and his people and his community. And he does a lot of what he does through EOS. Kevin told me that the podcast with him last week was very, very, or whenever it comes out. Sorry, I don't mean to put your order out there. I don't know what it is, but
we don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a must listen to because he's someone I really look up to and talk to, and he's awesome. So if you're interested in EOS, check that one out. I won't beat you guys to death with that club. So we can talk about other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's important. And it's just, it's a system, a platform to run and track the success of your business. And it's very important to have something like that. If it's not a US, if it's something else, if it's a homegrown, whatever, I think, you know, the continued story here is all these things are important and you got to look at all these little aspects of your business. And my goal is to have episodes that cover all the nuances and then hopefully learning things that we never knew before. So that's the cool thing about my job here is I get to learn about new things too. So back to Manny and his firm, you know, when we talked, I don't know if you know, but as I have new guests come on the show, I always have a pre-call, get to meet each other, try to figure out what's a good topic and what can we talk about and to bring you all the best I can. So I know at Array Digital, me and my partner set a goal a few years ago of $100 million per year agency. And so pretty lofty goal. When you put a goal out there to the world like that, people are like, what? Yeah, that's crazy. But you really kind of do the math and look at how would we do that? Now that's a financial goal, of course, but it felt the easiest to start with that and then work it backwards. So, but when I talked to Manny, he was like, we want to go big. And, you know, I think Morgan & Morgan came up, but for criminal defense. And so they have some big goals and they're putting the basis in place. They're building that foundation so that they can grow and do the good work that they're looking to do. I think that's the most important part. So I want, you know, dive into kind of some of the other things that you guys have in place and then kind of what that future looks like and how you're planning to meet those goals.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, it's a really good combo. And we could pick up even almost where we left off, where in order to take any of that, you know, those big steps to get into a realm of, hey, we're not just a law firm now, we are serving a vast majority of Florida and maybe even outside of that if we can get there. It has to start with, like I talked about earlier, right? Our mission today, making sure we're helping good people when bad things happen to them so they can achieve their best future, right? That is something that I live for. I wake up, I think about, go to sleep thinking about it. But then if we're talking about growth and expansion and making sure that everything that we do is the same sort of service, same form, pardon me, of service and client care and results as when it was just me and Adam, as when it's now with the lawyers we got now, we got a great team going on. In order to get that and duplicate that going forward, you got to make sure you're having your processes in place. So we've spent a lot of time documenting processes, documenting contact lists, making a lot of trainings as well for new employees or new lawyers that are coming on, having things done in a uniform fashion, right? There's one way to do things. I think anyone's that has been at a growing firm or even a firm that's small and kind of staggering around, they feel, right? And I'm sure even in some businesses that you work with, where, oh, Susie does it this way and Johnny does it this way. Susie's great and Johnny's great. They get the job done. And we're, you know, yeah, we don't really want to play the results. We need to play the process, right? So as long as the process is rock solid and consistent, we know the results are going to follow. So that's been a journey that we've taken. Been really, Adam's been very strong driving that forward too. You know, even making sure that all of our team is united, right? Because once you start having marketing divisions and intake divisions and legal divisions and people tend to have this little cohesive unit, which is great. But if everyone's not talking together, if communication isn't all there, it's a really hard thing to bring everyone and turn. This is a good analogy Adam has said as well, so I'll give him double credit here. We used to be like a Coast Guard cutter, right? Where we could turn left, turn right, do a spin, fly this way, go north. Now we're kind of like that big old ship where it's like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to have a training set up in 2 days. We're going to have a follow-up training here. We're going to have a documented process on it. Yeah, we're going to have a follow-up. All of that kind of stuff is the business aspect of law, right? That a lot of people think is easy. And it's not so easy because humans are so very different. And you need to make sure that your team is all aligned. And we do a lot of sports over here, right? A lot of sports analogies. I've worked within sports. We relate to it. So it's very much like when you're bringing players onto your team, you got to have that Miami Heat culture. And that's something we want to make sure that is consistent, no matter if we were a 3-person firm or a 100-person firm. And I truly believe that that's the secret sauce for growth.
100%.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show.
I've seen it firsthand here when we got serious about all this stuff as well and processes. And yeah, not just for the work you produce and how your clients, you interact with them or quite a case, but how you onboard your employees and what they see and expect and feel as they're coming on board, right? Because you can focus all on the clients and then the employees are onboarded slow or all messy, or you know, they don't feel like they have good communications going on. And so you got to take care of all of it so that they know when they come in, they go, oh, this is different. The last place I was at was a madhouse, and this is different. And so obviously when we interview people, it's pretty, I guess, intense anyway. So they probably see the kind of that were different. But once when they're in the door, it's like, you know, I get the feedback from my employees, like, there's something different here. Like, you guys are intense, all on the same page, process driven, but they feel more comfortable versus like the last place I was at was, you know, I sat around for 2 days, my first 2 days, and I had nothing to do because no one had time or they forgot they even hired me, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, you got to take care of all these things, and it's can be a challenge. But to your point, I like the analogy about the ship. It's like the aircraft carrier. It might be in port for a while because there's a lot of things to get figured out before you all go in that direction, right? Versus the cutter where it's like, you know, we're just going and we can be agile. It changes for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting that you even talked about when you were talking about your journey where you've had in terms of your business, you started with hiring, right? The hiring process. And I'm remiss for not even mentioning that because it really all starts there. You know, I'm curious to hear, you know, what you kind of had a little smirk over there or something, right? What about your process that's been so unique to your business where you go, you know what, we're going to find someone who matches. Is there anything you could share on that end?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it at some point it's a awareness, I think, of some of the problems you might have internally and coming to grips with the staff we have now. Now that we've set out in this new adventure and we have systems and processes and missions and all this stuff, right? You start to realize that you might not have all the right people on the bus that should be there. And it's not always good to just say, well, now you're going to go from this seat to that seat. It just, in my experience, has rarely worked out. And so you have to do some hard things like saying, hey, we don't believe you're a fit for us anymore, or whatever it may be, how you're going to handle it. But, and then you have to bring on that right person. You have to define well-defined descriptions for that position. And it should be a position that's absolutely needed. And if so, you have to lay that out. And it's got to be pretty darn precise. That could take you a lot longer to find that person. But, you know, if the best you can to find the right fit for that, and then have the team, I have my team involved, my A players in that hiring process. And there's a couple layers that they go through. And honestly, the person that doesn't want to go through that or do research on us or watch this podcast or check into things, they're not a fit anyway. And so we weed out immediately the resume submitters. You know, we also make them submit a video. Why do you want to work here for us? And a lot of people just don't even send one. we get about, you know, 1 out of 100 that I'll send in a video that goes to the next step sometimes. It's rigorous. We're 21 people at Array full time, and we have companies combined, we're about 40-45 people. But it's still, that wrong hire can cost you great, not just in money, but in culture. And I think that's the most important thing that we're really kind of talking about here, if you want to get into it. So
yeah, I think that it's an interesting point, because I think there's two points to take on that, right? I think one is you may have that right person who's not in that right seat, right? We're using EOS language. I can't get away from it, even though I try. You know, if you have sometimes the right person, they're living your core values, they're great, but they're just not getting the job done. You can always, as what Disney would say, is recast that member. We did a Magic of Disney thing with GLM at one point with Ben Glass. I know you've had him on the podcast. Love Ben.
Yeah, Ben and Brian are awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Great guys. They talk about employees that get recast, right? Where they're awesome. They're great humans. They buy our culture. They love our mission, but they're just not getting the job done. You put them somewhere else, they may thrive, right? And sometimes those problems are even a leadership or management problem where you're not giving enough training or watering the plant enough. So sometimes you got to look inward as that. And then another Ben Glass shout out, and the book's actually right behind me on that way. I'm not sure if this whole screen's making it on there, but there's A Ruthless Consistency. It's that black and red book above my daughter's handprint. That's a fantastic book. And I'm relating it right now, even on the hiring process. What you're talking about is you may have a great resume, an unreal resume. You know, we're like, wow, this person fits the bill. But if they're not following the process that you've set out of, I need the video, I need the cover letter, I need them to do a survey, whatever it is that you've got on that you've decided, I'm going to weed out, as you said, the resume submitters, especially now on Indeed and stuff. You can just, you know, submit all, and it's crazy out there making recruiters a new career. But at the same time, I think the ruthless consistency to make sure you're living, but if you're setting out that goal and you're going, this is the type of person that I know fits at my firm or my business, you've got to stay with it and not cut corners, because at the end of the day, it's a shortcut to an early exit and a lot of time, money, and energy wasted on a wrong person at the firm. So I hear you on that, because it's hard for me even in the hiring process, where I'm seeing just like, wow, this is who I want, but they didn't do half of what we asked. And unfortunately, you got to stay consistent on there, because if not, you're going to end up, you know, kicking yourself in the butt.
Oh yeah. It's just probably the worst thing you can do is make a bad hire, because or make an exception, right? It sets the tone for the rest of the team. Hey, I just went out of our process, made an exception, and that's an erosion point, right? Where the culture erodes a little bit, and that person comes in and they're really good, but they're cocky, or they don't share, or they don't collaborate, and then now you got a problem. So, but yeah, 100%. And you know, this is the saying we always say around here is, and literally this happens all the time. Like, hey, we love this person, but, and there's like a but in there, and it's like, hell yes or hell no. And hell yes means like without a doubt in your gut, 100% a yes without thinking about it, or it's a no. And so we fall back to that. And we even question ourselves all the time. Yeah,
of course you have to.
I mean, you know, yeah. if you just didn't have this, or they just, you know, and you're just like, what do we do? And it's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a great quote, one of the Game of Thrones books, George R. R. Martin writes it. It's essentially a statement made by Eddard Stark, who is the head of the Stark House. He's a very, you know, very ethical, moral, kind of duty-filled man. And he says, anything a man says before the word but should not be credited towards a decision. And so it's funny that you're saying that. It's like everything you say before but doesn't even matter. Like the point you're making is there. So it's that's gone, interesting. Yeah. And that's then great. Secondly, on that, we're big on energy, right? So what we're learning is that you're either giving energy or taking energy. And if we usually know within that first month or so, it's like, okay, maybe even the first week, truthfully, this is working, this ain't working, right? And we love to give people shots and Adam is very into like, let's give him a go. He thinks the world is someone up here. They're going to be amazing. And that slowly comes down. And then I'm usually like down here and you got to earn my trust. So we sometimes meet in the middle. And when we're aligned, it's like, hell yeah, we got a good one. But yeah. The energy is a huge, huge part of knowing. Just like you were saying, you know, like, yeah, all these great things, but that but may bring such a negative energy that's poisonous. Terrorists, right, are the number one reason why people leave their job.
Oh, man.
So you got to avoid them.
I like the term, the terrorists. I was in at a meeting. It was an entrepreneurs organization meeting, and it was like it was one of the traction, like, they call them accelerator days, but it's like, they cover the main parts of your business each quarter. So it's like people day and cash day and, you know, all the different, you know, processes. So you kind of cover the, and sales and marketing. So you cover the different aspects of the business. And we had a guy stand up. They had like, we had like a facilitator. And one of the guys stands up that I know owns a business here locally. He's an IT company, actually. And he's like, what do? I have a terrorist. And then I had never heard that before. And I was like, what is he talking about? And that's the thing, right? It's that person in your company that's been there probably for a while. They're deep rooted and they control a lot of things and they don't share what they do, the processes, and they got their own little, like, you know, basically they hold you hostage to some degree and everyone else around them doesn't like them. They don't play well with others and others leave because of this person, maybe unannounced to you. You're not really sure why people are leaving. And that's like a good definition of that terrorist in your organization. And so if you have folks like that are negative, you know, talking about people.
Yeah, or like C-rated players, because the DNF players will weed themselves out and quickly. Yeah. The A players want to play with A players, and B players, they're kind of projects and you can have B players and still have a great team. But it's those C-level players sometimes that don't want to play by the rules. They don't want to play nice. They want to, you know, play in their own little world. They're not all in, whatever it is, right? You can just throw it out there. And that's the one that you rationalize the yeah, buts, right? Okay, yeah. Well, but, and then they're, you know, it's that, what is that, seesaw, right? The seesaw. And at that moment, you know, eventually all it takes is one win to push them too far and they're out, right? They're never really going to, I don't say never. I don't want to ever say, I don't want to speak in ultimatums or absolutes, but certainly it's far more likely that they're going to excel to that A player rather than gravitate lower to that D or F player.
Well, yeah, they like you're kind of saying, it's like they float right in the middle. So like you're not firing them, but they're not really excelling. So you're just kind of like, whatever. That's the most dangerous thing. So it's to have that person that stays there, that shouldn't be there, that's messing your whole culture up, but you're not really aware of it.
Yeah, you used the word.
And most of the people I've met, like that own companies, that like they've had that person for 10 years and they don't know what their problems are. And, you know, and that's the worst, right? And so for, I know for here, that person will never enter my company at this point. Like, not happening. It's just not going to happen. I think that's for every law firm listening right now, to get to that point to where you know exactly what's going on and you know what's coming in. And this is for clients, for me too. My clients are, you know, engaged with us on the long term, and it's got to be a good fit. And so super important to go through these exercises, yeah, and apply the things that Manny's doing and what we've done here.
You used a great word earlier, erosion, right? And I can use it and even talk about a really good kind of segue for something I know that we want to get into quickly, but it's huge, right? That is a perfect word. It's going to take your culture. It's going to take your processes. It's going to take your results. It's slowly going to erode all the way through. And that's what that C player will do. And then I think about it, right? Like a seawall, right? You could have beautiful, unbelievable mansions. You know, I grew up in kind of, you know, Bal Harbour, Miami area, Sans Souci.
There's a couple around there.
There's beautiful, right? Like all on the water, and the seawall just starts eroding and eroding and eroding, and nothing has been repaired. So it doesn't matter how beautiful these mansions are and what you have inside of it and everything it represents to a family and everything. If that foundation, if that seawall isn't reinforced, and the erosion that happens every single day by these little waves just slowly pushing against the wall with the salt, right? It's going, and I'm sure there's a lot more science. So if anyone's listening, full of science, geekdom, please don't kill me.
But like, see all scientists out there.
I'm sorry, guys. But that's kind of where we have tried to focus for the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. Yeah, 3 or 4 years on that foundation, on the processes, on the documentation of things, on having the right CRMs, on having the right people in the right seats, having that EOS structure. Because eventually, right, I think if you were going to expand and grow, and if you're looking for people that want to join our team, whether it be through acquisition or they want to just say, you know what, like, you guys are doing something so special, I just want to practice law, can I hop on board? You need to be able to let them know that, hey, everyone that their Rolodex, if you will, right, to use an old term, of people, of connections, and their name is going to be associated with something that's not a plea factory, right? That's not just going to give people B and C level work, but A work. And if it's not an A, it's an F type of thing. And that's the one part where we have not cut any corners. I can proudly say that is that legal product. We've stood by it. We were pushing it. We don't ever really sacrifice that. There's other times in a hiring process, right? In some budgeting, in just maybe even some aesthetics around the firm, we're like, well, that's okay. It can last for a little bit. But if we're saying, that's okay on anything kind of legal product wise, it's a stop the shop. We need to talk about what happened. And I think that is a big thing to, I don't want to say sell, but a big attractive piece, if you will, to the community as a signal of our logo and what we represent of like, hey, look, we're here to do the right thing by our clients and not just give into the system. And if that resonates with you, we'll have a really nice partnership going forward. And that's kind of really what gets me up in the morning is that grandiose idea of really doing it the right way.
I love that. Yeah, this your business should be something you're excited to wake up and go start the day as early as possible. So, and once you get these things in place, it might sound daunting if you don't, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel for sure. Much brighter light than maybe where you're at. So I'll leave with one story before we switch gears to more stuff about, you know, kind of some of your all's next steps and things like that. It was a couple of years back, but we hired a salesperson, and I didn't really feel good about the guy. And I'm usually the gut feeling guy. My partner, Eric, he's pictures right here behind me. He's a previous host of the show, but now it's just me. We hired the sales guy, and I just didn't feel good about the guy, but we ended up hiring him. And he made some sales. He brought us some good-sized clients. But my team, my A players, they come to me, and they're just like, you know, we don't feel right about this guy. Something's off. He's not showing up for the meetings like we have to. He's not doing this and that. And we were like, well, he's a sales guy, so we'll just let him slide on everything. And this is before we really kind of put things into place, right? But I still at the time had some A players that came to us and were like, we're all noticing this and this is a problem. And so we let him go. And he was like, but I just sold this deal and this deal. We're like, yeah, we don't care. You know, that great. You can probably go sell somewhere else, but you know,
what's important is that speaks really highly of your culture and the comfortability of your players. And we've had A players come to us with things too. And I'm thinking back on a few examples, right? And generally they're correct because they feel the firm as you feel it. Those A players are so special. They're like, I know people like to say, oh, it's like family at this firm, but like, remember, right? Like we spend more time at our jobs and working here than we do with our family most times. And yeah. So if you can have the A players that you know, like, and trust and that are all in, and you got to listen to them. And that's great that, you know, you made that decision. That's not easy. Anyone listening to this, I'm sure you've got those golden gooses that it can't be touched, but everyone else around is like, what the hell is going on? And your culture of frustration of why aren't things working? Why am I stuck?
Yeah.
Might be because that golden goose is not living the way that they should be, you know?
Yeah. And you know, you can't just be like, yeah, but they sold a bunch of stuff. So, and then they're just, your culture just goes down the tubes pretty much. And it was before we really had things really figured out. We just happened to have A players that were with us. They're actually not even with us now because we changed so much since then. Great friends of mine. Some of them started their own businesses or they went on a different direction, but they were A players for us at the time. And they helped us kind of open our eyes to that kind of thing. And I think that was the start of it for us. Like, okay, we just let someone go that just signed a $25,000 a month deal, you know, like, was that a good idea or not? You know, so, and for us, that was massive at the time. That's massive today, but yeah, you got to put those things aside. And one other thing I'll add to what you were saying, Manny, what you're talking about, what you're doing is you're attracting the right people. I just had two lawyers call me this week. Kevin, I'm trying to find an associate or I'm trying to find a lawyer with 3 years experience on this. I know, you know, a lot of lawyers, if you know anybody, or can you put the word out? So a lot of folks are having problem hiring attorneys or associates. And so I think that's where they slip. They kind of just go, well, we have to take this person because there's no one to hire. So I get it. If you're in that situation where I need someone and there's no inventory, I don't know what to do. And so if you get these things right and do what Manny's done, you'll start attracting and people want to come work for you. And you have a bench, you know, you want that bench of people that are like, I want to work here. Let me know. As soon as you let me know, I'm in. And we have plenty of those folks in the marketing side that want to work with us. They reach out to us. We put them on the short list and we say, all right, well, if we have a position, we're gonna let you know. And so you want to be attracting the talent and those A players versus you trying to always find them.
Yeah. And you're only as good as your players too. I mean, you can have the best coach in the world, right? Again, sports analogy. And if you don't have a squad, you're not winning. You've never seen an NBA. Think of it this way, right? You've never seen an NBA champion, a Stanley Cup champion, a World Cup champion that has no players, but a great coach. But you have seen, okay, and I'm not saying this the right way, you have seen champions that don't have a great head coach or maybe even a great owner per se, but just have A players everywhere, you know, and they've formed their culture and they found a way to win. And so you gotta, you know, respect your players and make sure that it has a good roster. Cause if not, all it takes is one and it comes crumbling down. One bad apple, that is.
Yeah. And I can, as the Redskins or Commanders or whatever they're called now, fan, I can attest to not having a good owner and a lot of other folks in there. So no, 100% spot on. And so if you really want to stop digging for someone to work for you all the time, you know, build it up, do it right. You'll attract the best and you'll be able to pick and choose. And I, you know, I know Manny and them, they're in that situation where they're at now. So I want to like wrap it up, Manny, I guess some of the goals, what's next steps for you guys? What is, you know, this year, next year look like as far as like, you know, what you're all are planning? I know you have your rocks and you're on EOS and stuff like that. But what does it look like for some of the folks listening to kind of inspire them a little bit?
I think what we're really looking towards is maybe turning the page of the, you know, lockdown crushing of digital presence everywhere. You got to be on top of it or you're not. You still have to do that. Obviously, the next generations are going to be doing everything on their phones. Laptops will be their phones. I have little cousins that I talk with that it's just, they just see the world even differently than I do. Right. And I'm a millennial. Right. So I'm now feeling like the old guy or out of touch a little bit. You know, TikTok is a thing right now, but it's probably not going to be in a little bit because some of them are like already over that. So that should absolutely always constantly be explored. You cannot ignore digital. However, I think what we have ignored as just our firm, but I think I see it elsewhere, is that grassroots, fundamental referral relationship, getting out in the community and letting them know who you are, what you stand for, and that you're real. You know, you're not just some influencer, if you will, right? I think the world's missing that. I think we've been missing that a little bit. So I know Adam and myself have made a commitment to really kind of get back into that. And it's been fun, right? Like I miss some of that stuff. Yeah. Even having a lunch the other day, a networking lunch that I hadn't in a long time. I was like, this is good. Like we're moving around, moving and shaking. That feels good too. So that's kind of where we're headed. I mean, obviously there's much grander things, but on a kind of microscope, if we're looking on the micro right now, that's kind of where we're focusing right now. On the macro, it's quite honestly trying to build an org chart that allows people to kind of only be in one seat going forward rather than having to live in multiple roles. Because sometimes, you know, as you're growing and expanding and new ideas are coming or there's turnover or someone's just a multifaceted, multidimensional player, that's great, but it's not sustainable. So I think being able to drill deep rather than drill wide is something that we aspire to on the macro picture, to really build that organizational chart where one person in one role just kicking butt in that role.
Yep. I see that too. And I think it's good to be aware of that, like you're saying, and say, hey, you're doing this for us right now and this and that, but the goal is to get you solid in this and then hire underneath you and build that up. And that's what we do here. But yeah, when you're starting out or if you're growing new department or new service, new something, you're going to have those moments where we need someone that can fill a couple roles. But if they know you haven't thought about what's their future, then they're not going to feel very good about it. You know, they need to know that we're working on getting you into this other role, but for now we need you doing all these things. But you know, think ahead like you're talking about. So
and communicate, right? I think people think that osmosis or telepathy is something that is just naturally going to happen through ideas and just kind of, oh, they should know this. A lot of times I think even business owners don't do a good enough job communicating in a language that resonates with someone who's out of college, trying to start their first job, and really just having that open and honest discussion with them of, hey, this is what I see for you here if you want it, and seeing if they even want that. Because if not, you can't just play this idea in your head that this is going to be all sunshine and rainbows when it ain't. You know, I think that's a huge piece is communication with the team.
That is huge. One of the things that we, you know, try to do here is get it with each team member. When we do one-on-ones with each team member, each manager does, but what are their, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before. I've definitely said it on the podcast before, but what are their personal, professional, financial goals? Like we don't even know what they want in life. As a business owner, we're all over the freaking place and we have good big ideas and vision. And we also were exposed to a lot more, right? How the business is doing, the numbers, all these other cool things that are happening. They might not have a clue or care, but sitting down with them, I think, just say, hey, what are you trying to get out of life? And where are you? What's your next goal? I'd like to buy a house or I'd like to get an apartment. You don't know, right? How are we helping them meet their goals? And is the job they're in, the position they're in, where they really want to be? You know, like, where's your professional goals? I want to be the CEO of the company. Okay, well, that's a pretty lofty goal. How do we get there? You know, and or they might say, hey, I just want to turn this wrench. I want to be a paralegal forever. Okay, cool. Then now I know that they don't want to rise to the top of the company. Maybe that's just not their ambition. So I think it's important, like you're saying, communication is huge to know where they're at, where they want to be. You're going to have people leave and you go, why'd they leave? And then you find out later, well, I really didn't want to do this anymore. Well, you should have told me. I would have moved you somewhere else. Too late, you know?
Too late. Yep. I agree.
Too late. Yeah. That's so all great stuff, Manny. I appreciate you sharing all this today. We're definitely on the same page. So I appreciate that. And I'm going to add one more thing to your grassroots. So I own a digital marketing company for law firms. Obviously, I push digital, SEO, organic. That's what we live and breathe. But Manny's 100% right. And I got a stack right here right now. Can't even count them all. These are handwritten cards that I have to write and send out. And, my Madison that works for us, she's yelling at me right now because I haven't done it today. Getting out and meeting people, doing things in the community. Going to networking events. I took a client to lunch yesterday. We don't have too many local clients, but I took one to lunch and just sat down and we didn't talk about anything to do with necessarily work that we're doing for them. We try to keep it personal. We have a lot of people have forgotten this stuff and we don't do it anymore. And, everything's on so much technology, so it sets you apart when you actually show up in person, meeting people and doing those things. So I think a lot of firms need to work on that. And I had an episode recently with Sally McDonald. She's should be coming out before this episode. We were talking about networking and just basic stuff that we used to do a lot more of and how firms can get their associates and their attorneys worked into that in-person type of thing. And I think it's huge. So I'm glad you guys are doing that. So even though I'm all about digital, you can't just do that. You have to be real.
No, you need both. I think obviously to be truly to hit next levels, right? And I think everyone listening to this, if you're listening, especially 40 something minutes in, you're looking for nourishment, you're looking for ideas, you're looking just to kind of massage your brain, right? Floss it, get some ideas in and out of there. And I think what we learned after doing some of that flossing is we got to get back to both. Can't just be one.
Yeah, you have to have a holistic approach and get out there and like you said, be real, right? Right now you could be just an influencer behind a social media account, but really getting out there, especially if you're a localized community firm, right? I work with clients all around the country. So me, it's flying to Chicago next week to go to a conference with all lawyers and got another one, Ben Glass and Brian Glass is in Phoenix coming up in October. So just getting out and meeting people and having conversations versus just this podcast that you're listening to. And so got to take it on the road. So looking forward to that. But Manny, great stuff, man. I'm excited for you guys and all the things you're doing. A lot of people can learn from what you guys are doing as well. So rosenlawfirm.com is R-O-S-S-E-N lawfirm.com. But I would say definitely reach out to either Adam or Manny. Manny, what's the best way for them to contact you personally or LinkedIn?
Email. Yeah. Email on the website. LinkedIn works. I'm super responsive. Anywhere you can find me. If you find my old MySpace page, maybe on that too. I'm there to help. Kevin, thank you for having me. Honestly, Adam and I are always about anything that helps people move forward, right? You want to move forward, onward and upward. So I appreciate it, man. I really thank you for your time and the opportunity.
Absolutely. Great share today. Yeah. Anyone, if you're listening to the audio and you didn't get his name down or whatever, reach out to me, LinkedIn or whatever. I'll connect the two of you. If you have questions, want to know more about EOS or what they've done for their processes and culture, I'm sure Manny's open to helping you out. So
especially reach out. Kevin. Yeah, Kevin, sorry to cut you up, but especially if you're in criminal defense, we have found that it's few and far between that are strictly solely criminal defense firm. There's a lot of PI guys, right? A lot of transactional guys, but anyone who's in the crim defense field, reach out. Let's talk. Let's connect. I love kind of talking shop with y'all.
Love it. Yeah, I appreciate that. Everyone, take him up on that offer. And again, reach out to me if I had to contact him. So, Manny, you can stay on with me. We'll chat a little bit backstage here. And everyone else, have a great day. Do the right things. If you keep listening to the show, I'll keep giving you more tips. So, all right, Manny, have a good one.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to arraydigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening. and thanks for sharing.